I don't think anything with like a capital C challenge. I applied for grant funding. That's how I got the money to like make a thing. And I got the grant funding. So big thank you to the Canada Council for the Arts, because they've really enabled me to create this project, and I will forever be grateful to them. But of course, you know, you have to know how to do grant applications, and you have to have the time to do the grant application. And it's a really long process. Like, it takes a long time to write it, and then you have to wait a really long time until they adjudicate it and everything. So it means things move really slowly. But it was also my first time making a podcast, and I think I was willing to move slowly because I was just figuring it out, kind of putting one foot in front of the other. So I guess it was a challenge, just in terms of kind of like, it felt very much like I was grappling through the dark a little bit. But I also enjoyed it. So it was like, you know, lowercase challenging, not uppercase challenging.
Anything in terms of the content that was challenging?
I went back and forth a bit about how much anti-choice content I wanted to include, and I ended up basically doing a whole episode about it, and it's like the second episode, and I kind of do that in the spirit of like addressing the elephant in the room so we can also just like get over it and start talking about other things. It's also hard to completely omit anti-choice content, because the reality is there is still a lot of like opposition to abortion, and even though I hate that it's often framed in the context of its opposition, you know, there's still a lot to be addressed there. So that was one thing that I was always kind of trying to be very conscious of and very like mindful of how I was framing it. And then I guess early on, while I was making, back when I was still like making it as a play, you know, nowadays, like every piece of theater I go to see, and rightfully so, begins with a land acknowledgement. And Baroness von Sketch has this amazing sketch about land acknowledgements that often feel like they're kind of boilerplate or some sort of ceremony that is disingenuous and actually not really saying that much. And so I really didn't want my land acknowledgement for my play to be like that. And therefore, you kind of have to sit with what a land acknowledgement means to, you know, myself personally and in relation to the material. And back when I, you know, was kind of just post-abortion, was devouring a lot of research material, I came across a book by Professor Karen Stout called An Act of Genocide. And it documents the history and in many ways ongoing into our present of forced and coerced sterilization in Canada, and also just other forms of population control and, as she says in the title, genocide that have been inflicted on Indigenous communities. And, you know, growing up as a white city kid, it's kind of like, you know, when it comes to Canada and as a colonial state, our relationship with the Indigenous people of this land, it's like I almost just always blanket statement assume it's bad. And this was the first time in terms of, you know, reproductive freedom and choice, I assumed it was going to be bad. But here I was really understanding the extent and the specifics of what we're talking about. And this was also in relation to me kind of crystallizing the trajectory of reproductive rights activism in the country. So the Morgenthaler era, you know, how the legislative legacy was, you know, the timeline of that in relation to my mom's experience. And it was, you know, personally for me, it was this moment, this kind of like Venn diagram moment of two very different realities overlapping, where, you know, my mom and people in her generation are gaining access to better reproductive rights and choice, and Indigenous women and Two-Spirit people are, you know, being forcibly and coercively sterilized, having their kids taken away in hugely disproportionate numbers, being pressured into abortions, being subjected to long-acting contraceptives. And it's like all happening at once, right? And so for me, that was sort of a big starting point for the land acknowledgement of the play, of being like, we're kind, it's like a tale of two cities almost, you know, like how do you reconcile these very different realities, and what does this mean today, and how do we be better? And so what, as I was writing that, I was like, I need consultation. So I started reaching out to, I just started Googling, I was literally Googling like reproductive justice, Indigenous Canada, like really basic Google searches. And I ended up reaching out to, her name's Claire Dion Fletcher. She's a Lenape Potawatomi midwife. She's the co-chair of the National Aboriginal Council of Midwives. She works at Seven Generation Midwives and here in Toronto. She teaches at a lot of midwifery programs, and she was a huge, huge teacher for me in my own experience of incorporating this really urgent and important conversation in the project. So it was a challenge just in terms of, you know, being a little bit scared, but also knowing that like it needs to be done. I probably will and have fucked it up in some ways, but that's also a part of growing and learning and like humbling to engage in trying to, I guess, you know, your own personal commitment to reconciliation and whatever it means to you individually. So yeah, that was I'll call it a challenge, but again, one that I was knew must be, you know, engaged with.
Yes, thank you. That's really precious. And to see the link between the land and our bodies, right?
Absolutely. Also,
and how those two inextricably connect, and you know what justice means in the grand scheme of things in terms of that. So I think this is a good time to take another song break. Do you want to tell us what we'll hear in this one?
Sure. Yeah. Song number two is called Racist Friend. It's by a band called Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler. I don't know much about this band. I just like that their name is Me, Mom, and Morgenthaler. And I've listened to Racist Friend, and I think it's like not a bad message. You know, it's basically like, I think the main lyric is, if you have a racist friend, it's time for this friendship to end. And I agree.
Wholeheartedly. I saw them in 1991 at a very raucous and very fun time back in the day.
That's amazing.
This was a bit of a throwback for me, so I'm going to enjoy hearing it.
I'm so glad.
Sure. time to stop fucking around it. Time to stand up and be counted. Look, I know the playbook. The racism ain't a bug, it's a feature. It's time to unlearn what they didn't teach ya. We out in the streets now, taking the heat now. Face some police down, brace them for beat downs. They stop them and drop them, they choke them or they shot them. Then say it's bad apples, the whole barrel spoiled rotten. It's way past time to stop making excuses. It's time to drop these losers. My people are more than collateral damages of red lines, hate crimes. Can I speak to the manager who got it on camera, but still some deny it? It's time to speak up, they stay quiet. You can't stand by it and expect that I would be a friend. It's time to bring this to an end.
Welcome back. I hope that had you up a little bit dancing to some ska there with me, Mom, and Morgenthaler. Very appropriately named song for my guest today, who is Rachel Cairns, creator of a new podcast series on abortion in Canada called Abortsh. You're listening to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio, and I am Robin Erickson. I want to turn the discussion a little bit to how you think the conversations that promote a widespread abortion ban in the United States contribute to the anti-choice movement here in Canada, and what you see and how you see this impacting us today and how it might shape our future. Not to make you grit your teeth about it or anything.
It's certainly a bummer. I do think that there's a lot of cross-border cultural pollination that we need to be like aware of and call out. You know, Trump gets elected and shortly thereafter so does Jason Kenney and Doug Ford, and they have an insurrection on a year later where our capital is occupied for a month. So, you know, we certainly see these copycat cultural patterns. That being said, I do think Canada's has completely different political and legal systems. So I don't think that we are, you know, I don't think it's helpful. I just don't think the overturning of Roe would ever happen here. We can talk about that like more thoroughly if you'd like, but I think that certainly we need to be very cognizant of how we are talking about abortion. And it kind of goes back to what I said previously of like, stop framing it in relation to its opposition. You know, like we have countless polls for many decades now that demonstrate that the majority of the population fully supports abortion. So why do we keep on framing it as this controversial, polarizing thing when it totally isn't, you know? And instead, how about we frame it next to, you know, how we're going to make sure that housing is also a basic human right for our population. How are we going to frame it next to what our governments are actually spending money on when it comes to environmental policy? You know, so frame it next to, you know, actual other related human rights issues. And let's stop pretending that there are two sides to human rights, because there aren't. There's either you're oppressing them or you have them. And we know what side is the right side to be on. So it's so deeply infuriating. I can't even imagine how I would feel if I was, you know, a United States citizen right now. I would be just trying to figure out how I could get a job in any other country but my own, I think. That being said, you also have to like stay and fight, because you'll just go somewhere else and shit will happen. But anyways, I think that we need to be, you know, here for our American allies. I'm certainly somebody that's like, you know, when Trudeau said something to the extent of like, you know, Americans can come to Canada and get abortions, I'm also like, of course. We also have access problems here. So if Americans are coming in, our governments on federal, provincial, and municipal levels really need to be putting their money where their mouth is and expanding and enshrining and ensuring access for all Canadians and Americans if they need to come up here.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Just getting to the sort of final moments in our hour. The time always goes by so fast. I want to know what responses you had hoped for, or that you do still hope for, with the release of the podcast Abortion. What do you hope it elicits in people? And what message do you hope gets across to your listening audience?
My hope in like making the project and putting it out into the world was really to, in my own way, contribute to like the destigmatizing and the normalization of abortion. You know, I kind of think of it as like the Me Too of abortion. You know, like, I've had an abortion. It's not a big deal and a big deal at the same time. And like, let's talk about it. I hope people, like I said earlier, like understand reproductive rights and choice in relation to issues that affect us all, and also therefore see reproductive rights and choice as something that affects them too. You know, like, kind of like in my response to the last question, this thing about two-sidesing it, I sometimes have a bit of a gripe because CBC still has this tendency to do both sides journalism, and you know, it upsets me, not only because of the whole like you can't two sides human rights thing, but also I'm like, CBC, you are an institution that has benefited from the expertise, knowledge, and wisdom of people, men, women, non-binary, trans, everyone, who has been able to decide if and when they wanted to have families, i.e. get an education, build their careers, get to a place where they can be hired by the CBC. So it's like, you've directly, and this goes for all industries, corporations, you know, you've all directly benefited from people being able to decide if and when they want to have kids. It's like kind of the foundation of modern society, really, if we're unpacking it. So, yeah, like, it's not just a woman's issue or an issue for people at a very particular part of their life. It's something that is very much a continuum in life and is something that affects everyone, whether you can have a baby or not. So, yeah, I think that is, if we can get people to see it that way, that will be a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, we can't say enough about really the complexity that goes into the decisions to have abortions and the complexity that that is on the other side of having had an abortion and the complexity of understanding how being able to have access to abortion reflects in terms of what modernity and you know, our society, the way that we know it is, for sure, as you pointed out. We are going to start airing Abortion, as I said at the beginning of the interview here, on Monday, August the 1st at 10 o'clock a.m. And it'll run for 10 consecutive weeks. So I'm very excited, and hopefully listeners who are tuned in to this interview will be able to tune in and hear the podcast on the station. Do you want to give us the details of where else folks can find out information? And then I know you've got one last song to leave us with.
Absolutely. So you can listen to Abortion on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you normally get your podcasts. If you want to check out the website, it's www.abortion.com. And I'm an Instagram person. That's kind of the only place where I'm really active on social media. And the handle is @abortion. ABORSH POD.
Fantastic. And the song that we're going to go out on.
Yes. So this is a song by Amanda Palmer, and it's called Voicemail for Jill. And it's a song about abortion. And I'm pretty sure she wrote it shortly after the woman in Ireland passed away a few years ago, before the referendum, where they, you know, decriminalized it. And really sad story, basically died of a miscarriage, where she really needed, what she needed was a procedure that was deemed to be an abortion, and would have saved her life, but couldn't get it. So Amanda wrote this, and it's pretty profound, I think.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Jill, it's Amanda just waving from London. I know that you're going tomorrow, the hardest decision. I've been on the side of the phone for a month, and I know you're inhaling, and know that I know what you're feeling. Life's such a bitch, isn't it? When you have a baby, they throw you a party. And then when you die, they get together for a cry. Checking your voicemail at all, but in case it's the morning and you're off of the Green Line and walking through Copley, I want you to stop for a second. I want you to listen. You don't need to offer the right explanation. You don't need to beg for redemption or ask for forgiveness. You don't need a courtroom inside of your head where you're acting as judge and accused and defendant and witness. It's a strange grief, but it's grief. at all the women in the street. You know the statistics, Jill. Even though they may not help, isn't it amazing how we can
every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. The women in our communities deserve to feel safe from both emotional and physical abuse. They deserve men who control their anger. Most importantly, they deserve to know the people they love most will never hurt them. Men like me stand up to create a safer world for the women in our lives. And we're looking to men like you, the men who make up our communities, to join us. You can play an active part to end violence. Visit www.whiteribbon.ca. On July 23rd, experience an evening of chaotic transcendence with Tunnel Canary and fellow enigmatic cult icons Morning Coup and Gretchen Snakes as part of the Wrong Wave Festival curated by Liquidation World. Legendary Vancouver noise punk performance art band Tunnel Canary will be performing live with their original vocalist, the inimitable Ibra, for the first time since 1983. The show will happen in the back of Sunset Terrace, located at 2028 Clark Drive in Vancouver, beginning at 7 p.m. The event is pay what you can, but bring some cash for refreshment services.